Jack and Bet by Sarah Butler. Read by Margaret Caborn Smith. It was the walk from the library to the shopping centre that was the most difficult, passing along the edge of their old estate. It had almost gone, just sky and a distant view where there used to be blocks of flats. Now the Shard stabbed up from the horizon. Sometimes it caught the sun, turning silver or copper or gold. Sometimes it was half hidden by clouds. He didn't like it, but it was easier to look at than piles of rubble behind metal fences. Like a bomb site. All those walls and windows and roofs broken into pieces, and the bulldozers still going, scraping away at what was left with their sharp teeth. Jack's hearing was not what it used to be, but even for him the sound was too much. Easier to look at the Shard than the stretches of hoardings with their pictures of trees and promises of a brighter future. He was too old to be getting angry about such things. That's what his son, Tommy, said. And there was nothing people like them could do in the face of all that money. Things changed, moved on. He should know that by now. There were other routes he could take. Down Penton Place and along Newington Butts, past the French restaurant where the party would be the following night, past St Mary's Churchyard and the old leisure centre. And yet this was the way he walked. He wouldn't stop visiting a friend because he was ill, he told himself. Someone had to pay attention. They knew him at the shopping centre. The African man in the mobile phone booth raised a hand as he passed. The Indian man at the stand where he bought the paper asked after his family. And they knew him at the sundial. He went in every day for a coffee, white, two sugars. The cafe was busy. A queue at the till, someone shouting in the kitchen. The woman serving looked tired and harassed. Jack ordered his coffee. When he turned from the counter, he saw that the table he usually took in the far corner was occupied by two builders in boots and fluorescent jackets. In fact, now he looked, he saw that there were no tables free, just a couple of tall stools at the thin shelf that ran the length of the back window. He was too old to be sitting on a stool. He stood, his cup shaking a little in one hand. Here! A woman waved at him, then pointed to the seat opposite her. She was young, with cropped dark hair and pale lips, a silver ring at the edge of one eyebrow. Did he know her? You can sit here, she shouted. A couple of people glanced up, then went back to their phones and their breakfasts. Don't talk to strangers. Tommy had gone through a phase of telling them the details of every scam he had read about, people pretending to be plumbers, engineers, council workers, wheedling their way into old people's lives and then robbing them blind. Jack looked at the girl, who was still smiling, still gesturing. There was something about her, maybe her eyes or the shape of her cheekbones, that reminded him a little of Bet. And there was nowhere else to sit. Thank you, he said as he lowered himself onto the chair and laid his stick lengthways at his feet. I am Marinella. She had one of those Eastern European accents, Polish or Lithuanian or he wasn't sure what. She stretched out a hand and Jack took it.